You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
It is the APC podcast from AcmePackingCompany.com and SB Nation. We exist again. Happy day. We are back in the saddle after a what felt like a pretty long summer break. So thank you guys for downloading. Thank you for joining. Follow us on Twitter at the APC pod. Find us on, if you're new to the show, find us on iTunes, wherever your podcasts are found. Subscribe there. Give us a rating. Blah, blah, blah. All that stuff out of the way. Summer vacation. Lots of change here at the APC pod. No longer the three amigos in New York. I am your host, Zach Rapport, dialing it in from Albuquerque, New Mexico, which is news that some of you have heard already. My wife and I making the change from the big city over to the high desert, which has been awesome. Ben Foley, who is not here today, funny enough, but will be back soon, now lives in Detroit behind enemy lines. With the Lions fans. He's working with the Wall Street Journal, reporting on automotive industry policy stuff that is way over my head, but which I've known he's been qualified to write since he was about 14, which is as long as I've known him. Alex Patakis joining us from New York. Seems like you've had an action-packed summer, man. How are you? What have you been up to?
Just went out and got married, so
hey!
Against the advice of every married person. Which is so annoying. You know, like those things that just really bug you that like you feel like people or just have to say to you when they're like, oh, you got married? Yeah, I got married. And they're like, life's over. It's just like, I'm so tired of hearing it.
The old ball and chain.
Yeah, it's been great so far. You know what? I'm looking forward to it. You don't have to make those jokes like to make yourself like, I don't know, seem like you hate marriage. Yeah. Marriage has been cool. So I've been doing that. I did that. That was fun. I unplugged for a while. I was out of town for a good portion of time, and now I'm back in my own Brooklyn kitchen with no cat, with no friends. Everybody's left. It's kind of sad.
Drinking alone.
115 degree heat wave, which I use as an excuse to why I've been drinking so much cold beer by myself at home. So
you didn't quite bury the lead because marriage is big news, but you were in Greece. You have a family home there? What's the deal?
Yeah, so my grandparents on my father's side are both from there. So they came over when they were real young, like the classic Greek immigrant story, came over, started a few diners in New York City and everything, and they retired there. So we've been going, my wife, as weird as that is to say, because we don't say that in conversation a lot
recently. Get used to it.
My wife and I had gone there every summer we've been together to visit my grandma since the first year we were together. So we got married there, which was cool. And weirdly, way cheaper than getting married in the U.S. Like, way more friendly in terms of pricing and everything, other than obviously the flights getting
right,
over there.
Right, getting so. Over there. I was going to say, because it looked so beautiful. I mean, humble brag on your part there. You were, like, on the water. There was, like,
I'm telling you. Yeah, it was so crazy.
Islands in the background.
Like, we went to venues in Brooklyn that, like, to get in the door, like, with nothing included, were double, I think, or at least the whole price of what everything in our wedding costs, like, end of day.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
It's like you could be in a warehouse there, or you can be, like, out by the sea if your friends are willing to buy a flight. So,
Robin and I did the same dance in Brooklyn trying to get ready for our wedding a little over a year ago now. And, you'd walk into a place like, this is nice. How much does it cost to rent for half a day? And they'd be like, that'll be $13,000.
It's like, what does that come with? Nothing. Okay. That doesn't even include the chairs. It's like, then it's like $20 per chair. And... if you want like a table, if you're gonna need a knife with your place setting, that's gonna be like another $5 per night. It's like, what? Come on.
Yeah.
So Yeah, that
Grandpa's was, gonna have to eat that steak whole, bite by bite.
Yeah, no off cutting the bone.
All right, well, Packers fans are tuning out at this point as we talk about wedding stuff. So we got to reel them back in with big Green Bay Packers news ahead. Of course, as we record this Wednesday afternoon, July 24th, the training camp for the Green Bay Packers is set to start, I believe, tomorrow morning. And the Packers were set to head into that training camp with the requisite maximum 90 players until just mere hours ago it was announced that defensive lineman, fan favorite Mike Daniels was released by the team. And it was reported, you know, that the Packers were looking to trade him in the offseason, you know, whether the market wasn't there or if other GMs just sort of wanted to call Goody's bluff and kind of wait it out. You know, we may never know. But anyway, Mike Daniels, 30 years old, toughed out some injuries recently, was due to make $8 million this year, and no more. He gone. I think we were all stunned by this news, Alex. What was your first reaction?
Yeah, I mean, I don't love it. I mean, I was stunned in a way, even though, as you had pointed out after, there were a lot of people who were kind of anticipating this, even like at the beginning of the offseason. I was not one of them. I guess I don't love it from the standpoint that I don't understand at the beginning of training camp what harm it does to have Mike Daniels there. There's no type of deadline now in terms of like the league calendar that's going to like take any more out of your wallet now than it would if you cut. I mean, okay, if he's there for training camp, what's the worst that can happen?
Yeah.
Right? Like everyone made the comparison to Josh Sitton right away. He got cut at the 53-man roster cut, which is a whole other story. And I think that there's rumors of an altercation that happened there and yada, yada, whatever might have happened there. It's not the same because you could, I mean, releasing him at this juncture and then heading into training camp without him, we're a Kenny Clark injury away from being like, oh shit, we're really in trouble. Like, and your roster at going into camp is never like, it's never going to be clean all the way from now in July to the end of August when we're heading into week one. So the timing of it is a little bit weird. It kind of just tells me like for some one reason or another, they just didn't want him around. And I don't know what that reason would be, because if you truly didn't, if it was about saving money, which I actually, okay, I'm gonna cut myself off there and hit the saving money thing. Sorry. I've realized more and more that I understand when you're looking at the long view and you're analyzing moves from a front office, you have to take that into consideration because they're obviously doing a job and they have to think about the finances of the team. But I've like come to realize that when I'm watching the team on Sunday, like I could give a shit about that $8.5 million. Like I feel like that's the crutch that everyone goes to immediately. And I used to do that all the time. And now I realize like I watch for enjoyment. And at the end of the day, like if their cap scenario is $8 million different, but I don't get to see Mike Daniels be unblockable, that's not really like something that's going to make me feel better about the move. So saving money, I've begun to really not care at all about anymore. But
you'd
yeah,
still
I mean,
understand
like,
how someone like Brian Gutekunst would want to think that way, of course.
Yeah, but I guess my counter to that would be what is the worst? I mean, what's so bad about a guy playing out his contract, right? Like, I mean, I feel like in a lot of sports, in football in particular, we talk about a contract year being a year that a guy usually overperforms. Like he has something to prove because he's playing for that next contract, whether it's, you know, in Green Bay or whether it's elsewhere. I don't understand what harm it would have done to have Mike Daniels there. You could say, oh, you don't want to pay a guy $8.5 million or whatever he was due. I think 10 million, right? But they save 8.5, something like that. To not be an every down player. That's a big cap hit to take for a guy who's maybe now more of a package player in this new scheme with Mike Pettine. But what harm does it really do? Like, where are you going to reinvest at this point in the offseason that $8.5 million to better your team and make it better than it would be with Mike Daniels? So that's kind of where I'm at. I'm not like overly upset about it. But I just don't really get what value it brings to not have that guy on your roster right now.
I, you know, to counter that, I would say, you know, you mentioned Kenny Clark. I think that an extension is soon in order for Kenny Clark. And I think that Brian Gutekunst, who addressed the media today after them, I still can't get over that. We have a GM who like does a big move and then he talks to people about it. It's pretty incredible. But he did some media time today and Kenny Clark's name came up and he sort of, you know, parried, kind of, you know, swayed away from the question in a way that made me think that he was very interested sooner rather than later in locking up Kenny Clark. So I think that that frees up money there, as well as sort of the cap carryover. So the, you know, the cost of the Packers spending in free agency is that next year their cap is already really, really tight, and this helps them, if they still have this money by the end of the season, to carry over, helps them alleviate some of that. Of course, you know, to your point, as a fan, you know, watching it at Tom and Jerry's, whatever, on a Sunday afternoon, I could give two craps about that. I'm sympathetic to that, but I don't know, just trying to play devil's advocate, you know, after the initial shock wore off, because he's such a beloved player, one of my favorite players, and you start to peel back the layers, I think it all kind of, it makes sense, and sort of it's a Thompson, Ball, Wolf kind of move, where like you don't pay for pass production, you try to move on a year early instead of a year late if you can help it. It's the last year of his contract. He had that foot injury. The price tag again was between 8 and 10. You know, actually perhaps not that surprising that they didn't find a trading partner and ultimately cut him. Just a bit sad, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, and I guess the trading part confuses me a little bit too, and I understand that there's not a ton of people who may want to line up to have him at that price, and they want to call their bluff and let him cut him, and then they can get him, you know, at a much more favorable contract. But I wonder how hard they actually tried to move him, because, like, I mean, everything I'm reading now, like all over the world outside of Packers news, but all over like the NFL landscape, is just like, oh my God, there's going to be 31 teams lining up to like get this guy into their camp right now. And it's just like, well, if that's the case, you think you can get some value in return. I'm not that concerned about the value in return, because I feel like on what, you know, July 24th, with a guy with the writing has basically been on the wall since they entered free agency and spent all this money elsewhere, that he's not going to return. Like, you're not going to get great value for that. So I'm not like overly concerned about that. I'm just more interested in the inner workings that we'll never know, of the organization, how hard they actually tried to move him, or if this is kind of like a settling where they're just like, all right, let's just do this. Or if something happened, which is also a possibility. They may just like not like his attitude. There may be, I mean, there's a lot of things that could have happened. Because again, it does seem like they just don't necessarily aren't thrilled about the idea of him being a part of the team in camp right now.
Yeah. I don't know. In terms of, there should have been teams that were interested if they tried to trade him. I mean, those teams would have had to have been interested in him at $8 million a year, or had a commitment from him that he would renegotiate, and that would be worked
right
into the deal. So I think that, you know, I think that there will be a market for him, but that market is going to be for $5 million, not $8 million. I think that really, right. And so I think it was probably difficult for them to find a partner, but like you alluded to, all those other circumstances, you know, as we like to do on this podcast, playing it down the middle, I think it's a little bit of all of that kind of coming together. Not a hot take, but probably the case. I did want to wanted to quickly get your opinion on this, because I was chatting with Justice Mosqueda a bit on Twitter today, at Jumosk on Twitter. He is now proclaiming Mike Pettine as the shadow head coach of the Green Bay Packers. Alex, it's well known that Daniels doesn't really fit the physical profile of the guys that Pettine is looking for, especially with all the new talent that they brought in. And I think that Justice was being like maybe 10% tongue-in-cheek there. But do you think this move points at all to Mike Pettine having like a little more influence than some would like?
You know, potentially. I mean, I think, you know, certainly with you know, whether it's Mike Pettine himself vocalizing something, or whether it's just like Mike Pettine's system and direction on defense having that influence on personnel decisions. I mean, I definitely think it's got a lot to do with him. I was listening to our pals over at ESPN Milwaukee earlier today too, and I think the thing that Homer in the afternoon drive show with Gabe Neitzel led the show with was like, it's got nothing to do with Matt LaFleur. Like, he probably was told last second, he's like, whatever you guys want to do, and probably like eggs. I don't know why I like picture him to be so like passive, but he does seem like a pretty chill dude. He's probably so overwhelmed with everything that's going on right now, with being asked every time about his relationship with Aaron Rodgers. Like, I don't think he had a clue or an opinion about Mike Daniels. He's like, great player, don't want him here. Okay, sounds good.
I want to stop you right there, because you mentioned LaFleur constantly being asked about his relationship with Aaron Rodgers, et cetera. we get these limited availabilities for the coach, and there's so much exciting new stuff afoot with this offense and with the whole team, because he's, you know, the coach of the whole operation, lest we forget. Yet we have to spend the first 5 minutes of every press conference, A, asking him about his relationship with Aaron Rodgers, and B, asking about his foot. How's the foot doing? You going to be on the cart? I mean, there's real stuff that I want to know about this team and where we're at and where we're going. And I kind of don't care that he's in a walking boot right now. It's very frustrating.
I think that's like the early stages of training camp, where there's so many different media outlets rolling in on a national level, and they want to air their sound clip that like their reporter asked.
Yeah.
I asked Matt LaFleur about his relationship with Aaron Rodgers, like cut to soundbite. That's what that is. Cause you got to imagine that the Jason Wildes, Tom Silversteins, Rob Domofskys of the world, like they're probably so sick of hearing his answer to those questions as well. It's not like they're the first people lining up to ask that question. So hopefully that by you know, mid August, that will die down a little bit.
Not sure if we're gonna do our annual Game of Groans segment now that Game of Thrones is no more, but that's sort of our little mid off season jab at the tropey storylines that come out. But the Rodgers LaFleur relationship status and everything around that is definitely would be on that list for me. I want to get one last pointed opinion question here. Talk about soundbite for the national media before we move on. Do you think that releasing Mike Daniels is a move that the Packers will regret?
I think in the short term, I would lean yes. I mean, I don't know. We get so caught up in like so many details. Like if you took a very macro look at this, right, on its surface, like they just released inarguably one of their top five players, maybe arguably one of their top, I guess three is maybe a stretch, because now Davante Adams is certainly up there and David Bakhtiari to me is unquestionably number two behind Aaron Rodgers. So, but yeah, top five player on your team was just let go. So like that's not a great look. And it's, you know, this has happened before. Josh Sitton, who still presumably had a couple of good years left. And I know that Daniels was dealing with some injuries too. But again, they like Dean Lowry. Kenny Clark's been great. He's got his own injury history. Like they're an injury away from Tyler Lancaster, who they may like. But on a day-to-day, like, from him playing significant reps. And those are the guys that we are sitting at Tom and Jerry's. And we're like, the Packers are losing and we're getting drunk and joking like, what's a Lancaster? Like, you know, like those are guys that mean something to us, but they don't mean anything to anybody else. And they're still like developmental players that we don't, in an ideal world, you don't want on the field getting regular reps. So I think in the short term, like, yeah, they could regret it. What do you think?
You know, I regret it. Whether or not they, you know, I'm going to get too like philosophical with my answer here, but it's just, like, they obviously don't think that way. That's not the way that Brian Gutekunst thinks about the operation, especially in the long term. But I agree with you in that, you know, a couple hours ago, the Packers released Mike Daniels, and there's no way for me not to think the Packers defense is a little worse now than it was yesterday.
Yeah.
That's just a fact. And that sucks.
I don't even think you could argue it, because again, he was an unblockable player at times. Like there was not really one single interior offensive lineman who could handle him by himself. And I'm going to miss the highlight reels and the cut-ups of him on Twitter, just absolutely shaming people. And him as a guy, like he was really fun. You know, that's the other thing. There's also an emotional attachment to this for so many of us, with his love for anime and like all those cool, fun stories, and his attitude that he brought, which some people say that may have rubbed some people in the locker room the wrong way. Yeah. Maybe that plays into it as well. But he certainly brought or tried to bring a nastiness that I think we were all craving. So, you know, when I'm looking back at the Mike Daniels Packers career, I'll thank him for that as well.
Yeah, I'm not big. I don't think any of us are big on the whole idea of quote unquote the hashtag Packer people. But you know, someone like Mike Daniels, the player and the guy and the personality, he just really for me fit the bill of like the kind of guy that I want to root for. And so, yeah, so I'm a little sad. But with that, we're going to take a quick break. And when we're back, we will continue with some off-season moves and getting into a look ahead to training camp.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It was always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
All right, we are back. The other big news ahead of training camp is a move that is obviously tied to the Daniels release, and that is the extension of defensive end Dean Lowry. A 3-year extension worth $20 million, I believe, a team-friendly deal for a solid, versatile guy. And you just need those guys on your team. The Packers, I think, for too long have had too many role players on defense who were effectively minuses when they were out there. And Lowry is not a minus. Do you agree, Alex?
Oh, I agree. Yeah, I don't think he's a minus. I think this move makes a lot of sense. It makes even more sense after what happened today as we record this with Mike Daniels being released. So it brings even more clarity to the long-term plan for Dean Lowry. And the Packers are really good at the second contract, I think. And I think what we become more disgruntled with when guys don't get the third contract, which is happening a lot now, when they're in the late part of their 20s and the early part of their 30s, where we feel like they still have some football left and the Packers just end up ultimately passing on that. But Dean Lowry is not one of those. He's a guy who's presumably entering the prime of his career. And like you said, it's a pretty team-friendly deal nonetheless. So I think it's good to lock him up now, because there's a good chance he's going to get even more opportunity this year, and his value, you know, a couple of months from now may make that contract look even more like a bargain as he gets more reps and chances to prove himself. So I think it makes total sense.
Yeah. Mike McCarthy also used to preach availability as a top player attribute. Can I get you to say availability in the McCarthy voice?
Oh man, it's been a long time. Let's see.
Availability.
That's pretty good.
Not bad for like all the weeks off and months off from McCarthy.
You got to channel the mid sandwich burp.
Is he still in Green Bay?
I think he still lives in Green Bay. Yeah, he's working on his playbook.
Is he still chilling there? Like, I wonder what he's doing. You think he took the family to the first day of training? He's going to take them like to the first day of practice?
No, I doubt it. He's just enjoying being paid
to see him
millions
on the bike.
Of dollars to stay home. Yeah, right. Mike McCarthy rides a bike with a kid on it.
Or like Aaron Rodgers rides a bike with Mike McCarthy on it. It's just like, oh, you thought we weren't cool?
It's hard for me to mention Mike McCarthy and for things not to devolve into hilarious jokes. But the point I was trying to make is that Dean Lowry, I think, has missed one game in 3 seasons on that availability tip. So, you know, he's ready to play. He's solid. And now he's got some extra coin in his pocket. So, I don't know. I'm happy for him.
Yeah, me too. And to Mike McCarthy's point, that is like very valuable. And as a Packer fan, I feel like I have to feel that way more than anyone else, because when you see how depleted like certain positions have been over the past few years just by injury, like yeah. Remember our defensive backfield like at points last season, where it's like we're literally every week we're learning somebody's name as they make a play on the field. Dean Lowry is hopefully going to make sure that doesn't happen with our defensive front next season.
Yeah, you don't want to be relying on, you know, Kentrell Bryce to play like a starting integral role in your defense. And I think over the past few seasons, as you just said, there's been too many of those players, whether it's from, you know, just missed draft picks or just injuries, just haven't had enough solid players. So you plug in guys because you have to, and they barely have a pulse. You put them out there and they're minuses, and your team just gets worse with every substitution. So I don't know. It's a smart move. I think we agree on that. Moving on, finally here, training camp begins. I don't have any like epic training. I guess I'll play the church music. We're going to church. The Railbirds are going to church. Going to watch some Packers practice for the first time in a while. But training camp is set to begin again tomorrow as we record this on Wednesday night. And over at the blog, acmepackingcompany.com, the Wednesday walkthroughs feature asks the question of some of our writers, sort of what one player are you excited about watching for this training camp and why. So I thought we would do that here. I could expand it to storyline. You know, what is interesting to you, Alex, about what are you looking forward to about this training camp? I want to start with mine, which is Darnell Savage. And I think that there's two primary reasons for that. Firstly, as we've just been talking about, name dropping Kentrell Bryce and talking about injuries on defense and people dropping like flies. And I'm so excited to be coming off a year where the secondary was not an unmitigated disaster. Like, was it amazing? No. But there was notable improvement, new scheme. Jair Alexander was an awesome surprise. And so I'm just excited to watch the secondary and to sort of see if the team can build off of that success. But specifically with Darnell Savage, I think that there's not a whole lot that you can glean from watching training camp practices. They're unpadded. It is our first chance really to see some of these guys in action, and it's tough to tell. They're not wearing pads. They're not going full speed. Maybe some of them don't know the playbook quite yet. And of course, this year with the new offense, that's definitely the case. But in terms of the secondary, I feel like you can actually get sort of like a feel for a few things about corners and safeties. With these sort of unpadded practices, you can see a little bit of their play speed. You can sort of tell how well they're picking things up. You can see if they stick to receivers. You can see if they are they making plays on the ball. Does the game seem too big for them? Does it seem like they're, you know, processing information too slowly? I feel like those are things that you can actually tell about the secondary in these practices. And so for me, Savage is my guy to watch. I'm really interested in the secondary, and the eternal optimist in me is excited about a Packers secondary that is worth a damn for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think you're right, too, about just that position in terms of like what you can glean. Like you can tell even without pads. I mean, obviously tackling is a huge part of their job. But like you said, coverage, just looking fluid, not being lost in the scheme, like making good decisions, you know, not blowing coverages. Like there's a lot of value in those things, too, that aren't as much of the physical element. I'll go kind of similar and just on the opposite side of the ball. The guys that these defensive backs are trying to cover. Oh, by the way, I'm shocked you didn't say Bob Tonyan having a real shot at the number two tight end role, by the way.
I need a big Bob drop.
Have a legitimate chance to be like a 20 to 25 play per game kind of tight end.
I think I'm just personally issuing a moratorium for myself on being excited about tight ends because, you know, last year, I mean, I've been burned every year of basically my entire life, like hoping for awesome Packers tight end play. And so I'm just, you know what? I'm rooting for it. I'm hoping for it. I am optimistic, as you said, but I'm going to slow play that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. So, but no, I'll go with the receivers. And in particular, MVS, because I feel like, I mean, obviously, it's kind of wide open right now with the group of young receivers. I was going to say Geronimo Allison, but I think for training camp purposes, that's not exactly exciting because he's been in so many camps. But, like, I mean, there was a huge gap in terms of who that second target in this offense is. And there's a lot of opportunity. And Allison may be the second target, maybe third, depending on whether Jimmy Graham sucks again or not. But if Allison's in the slot, there's a real competition for a number two receiver opposite of one of the best receivers in football in Devontae Adams, which I think in terms of like jobs you really want to land, that's a really big one, right? Yeah. Because you get a lot of single coverage. You get a lot of opportunity when Devontae's the first read and it's not there because the scheme is designed to take him away from Aaron Rodgers to then make a play one-on-one, which is where so many guys have flourished with the Packers for so long. Like, think about Greg Jennings when he was great and all of the opportunities Jordy Nelson got. And then all of a sudden, everyone had to respect Jordy Nelson and double team him. And then, you know, it was like next in line constantly for that receiver who's the number two guy who then gets a number one receiver contract. I feel like MVS maybe has that inside track to be that guy. But entering a second training camp, and I hate to keep going to McCarthyisms, but these things are embedded in me now, so I'm never going to not. That second year leap for MVS and ESB, as well as I'm sure if Ben Foldy is listening to this, he's screaming somewhere that he's the guy I should be talking about. But that second year leap, I think, could be huge. And that opportunity there in a new scheme with a great quarterback and a great receiver to learn from and Devontae Adams opposite of you is just such a great opportunity. So I'm really excited to see how that pans out over, you know, the next month or so. And if we're sitting there, you know, on August 24th thinking like, man, I can't wait for week one because I really feel like these guys are going to shine. So I'm pretty pumped up about that.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. I'm going to do one more because Ben's not here. I'm actually going to pull from Chris Burke, one of the writers at APC, who in the Wednesday walkthrough listed Za'Darius Smith as his guy to watch. Firstly, he starts his paragraph with, "It's the dawning of the age of Za'Darius," which I don't remember if when they signed him, if we caught on that we were going to be able to continue sort of the Arius
totally
theme.
Happened.
Did it happen?
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of people on Twitter, a lot of listeners on Twitter pointed it out too. So I feel like it was hard for us not to go there. Although I don't know if we ever got to mention it on the actual show,
gotcha.
Given just like the scramble that was people moving across the country.
We must not have because I have taken it off my soundboard. So I'll have to put it back on. But I wanted to give,
you thought it was finished.
I thought,
but
yeah,
it is not.
Just
so what's on the, can I just ask, sorry, what's on the soundboard? Because I love that you repurposed the Jeff Janis sounder into the training camp excitement sounder, which actually is really fitting if you think about Jeff Janis. And
that one's just
career.
Labeled church. So anytime we're looking for like divine intervention, or, you know, Aaron Rodgers, you know, plays a season on one leg. That's the sounder we use. What else is on here? So we've got our theme song. We've got, that
show
little
soundboard inventory.
Uh-huh.
Great listen.
We've got the interview open, segment, which is like the little intro, yeah, to the interview, depending on what the person's theme music
that
is.
Timeless.
There's a bunch of different, Rodgers. I have the New York Bozo. You're the only New York Bozo left. So
that's just me now.
New York Bozo!
That's you.
Whenever I say something stupid or make that mistake, I am that New York Bozo. Or when I speak in general, maybe, depending on your opinion. But
or when you do something stupid, there's also this one.
Oh man, so good. I really hope we don't see that Aaron Rodgers anymore. He's just so irritable. But man, it was kind of fun for a little while.
I also, for some reason, have the Game of Thrones theme on here from, I guess, from when we were doing
Game of Thrones.
But
right?
The one sound drop, which I'm not sure I've ever gotten to play, is this one.
Wow, okay.
which is Owen Wilson in Royal Tenenbaums talking about Wildcat, his book. And I think we put it on there like when Cobb was on the team and we were talking about like Wildcat formation and stuff, and we never got to use it. So what were we talking about? Oh, yes, Za'Darius Smith. I want to get us back on topic.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I didn't mean to totally drift away from, was it Chris who had Za'Darius, you said?
It was Chris, but I didn't want to talk about Za'Darius Smith specifically, but it sort of gave me the idea of just in general, one of the other things that you can glean from these practices on the defense is formations, You know, how does the defense line up? Who lines up where? And what can that tell us about how they're planning on using some of their talent, some of which is newly acquired, some new draft picks. They have a lot of pieces there. Obviously, they're without Mike Daniels, so there's even more question marks now. So I'm really curious to see. I think that that is actually valuable information.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, I guess you could say the same about the offense, right? I mean, in terms of things
that's
to be
true.
Excited about, it's
that's
just
true.
something new, right? Just like it'll look a little different because, you know, I think for many of us, for pretty much any Packer fan, you kind of, you know, you knew how they'd line up. Sometimes you could even guess what plays they're running just based on formation, which
I mean,
defenses could do too.
Opposing players could do it. They were calling it out and we're sitting at the bar being like, not this play. And you could just see it happening. It's very frustrating. Yeah, I'm excited
for
that.
So like everything will be kind of a surprise to us now, which will be kind of fun. Like I'm excited to just see what that looks like with LaFleur in charge. As the as the puppet to Mike Pettine, apparently. just stay in your offensive meetings.
Oh, yeah. The other sound drop that I have on here is LaFleur. This is our LaFleur theme music. So lovely.
That is his theme music. I love it.
Hashtag so handsome boy.
So much more elegant than whatever Mike McCarthy's theme would have been. I don't even think we had a theme for him. But
no, he's probably be some like 80s like big arena butt rock band or something. I don't know. What do you think? What kind of music do you think he likes?
That? I mean, I don't know.
It's Boston. Boston. Journey.
Man, I just want to hang out with him. I don't even want to like... I just want a relationship with him outside of the coach of the football team I'm a fan of. He's such a cool dude.
Go up to Green Bay. He's there. He's not doing anything. He's just collecting a paycheck.
Yeah.
They're paying him for the season. I think that's how that works.
It can't be that hard to find him there.
I don't know. I feel like he fits in pretty well.
Maybe. Wow. Nice.
Oh, he's just, I'm just saying. He's a...
I know what you're saying. Okay.
He's a white man of a certain age who is not slender. Hey, I'm from Wisconsin. Come on, I can say these things.
Yeah, you're allowed.
Maybe not.
You're...
I don't know. I think that's a podcast unless you have anything else that you want to add.
No. I just want to add that I'm looking forward to getting our reading from Jamie.
Yes, lots to look forward to here in the next couple
I know
weeks.
That many other fans of the show are, cuz I opened my Twitter today. After I started getting those notifications. And also I'm excited to spend a season again, just interacting with people around the show. As I just feel like I've been totally tuned out, which is
you
kind
do that
of nice.
Every off season.
And then, yeah, but then it's like nice that you just kind of like miss the community that builds, around it. So I'm excited to kind of get back into that and enjoy this ride together. And it, no matter what happens, like even if they're not great, it's going to be so fun because it's going to be so new, you know? I love new beginnings. That to me is so thrilling.
Wherever we go, we're going to get there together. Together as a community. And you can follow
Alex. I wasn't
Alex.
Trying to put like this like super feel-good bow on it, but I have a renewed enthusiasm for watching the team. Like, I don't have any of that stuff I would carry with me week to week, that dread of like, oh, I know how this is going to end.
Yep, you've checked your baggage at the door and you're ready for some new stuff.
Yeah, impress me, Matt. Let's go.
You can follow Alex at Alex Patakis on Twitter. I am at Zach Rapport, at Ben Foldy, who again is not here, but will be joining us again soon. Hopefully maybe next week. I don't know. We're not going to go every week just quite yet, but we will be soon. Can't commit to that yet, you guys. At the APC Pod on Twitter. Send us an email if you so prefer. theapcpodcast@gmail.com. As I mentioned earlier, as of this recording, the Packers roster is at 89 because they released... Mike Daniels. So with training camp starting tomorrow, I would look for them to bring in another body here in the next few hours, if not by the time you listen to that. Listen to this, rather. And thank you for listening to the APC podcast here at AcmePackingCompany.com. Let's get some football action out on the field. And we'll talk to you guys real soon. Bye-bye.
See ya.